All right, this is week two in this little series we're doing for 2 weeks on the 10 keys to greater faith. And if you were with us last week, you will know that we covered the first five items. And just to recap them very briefly, the faith key number one was we must read and study God's word regularly. Faith key number two was we must get a better understanding of submission and authority. Faith key number three was we must obey God's word. Faith key number four, we must worship the Lord with reverence. And faith key number five was we must be convinced of Jesus' ability to do what he said and what we really believe. So it comes down to how much do you believe the word of God? How much of it are you prepared to put into practice? And how much of it are you prepared to allow God to work through in your life? So that brings us to faith key number six, and we'll do 6 through 10 tonight. And then the 2 weeks will go into the little folder as we normally do. So we're getting to number six. You should have some notes there tonight. Faith key number six is don't give up. Press on regardless of any obstacles. Amen. Don't give up. Just keep pressing on. See, to press on is really a command in the New Testament. And we as Christians from New Testament perspective, at least, are given at least three areas that we're supposed to keep on keeping on and not give up. And if we're not doing that, we're not getting into the fullness of what God has for us. There are three areas, and I'll just mention them briefly. I can't remember what we've put in your notes, but the three areas are prayer, giving, and attending church. Those are the three areas that it says don't give up on. The three scriptures which lead into those are, number one, Luke 18:1, Jesus said that men, or we, ought always to pray and not give up. We ought always to pray and not give up. It's so easy to give up. You know, you're praying and you get in the presence of God and you're bringing your petition to God and you don't seem to be getting an answer. And then we give up. So we need to press on in prayer and get the answer that you need. The second one is Galatians 6:9. It says we should continue doing good, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So this is to do with giving. And being successful and making the financial thing work. And then the third one is Hebrews 10:25. The writer there says, do not give up meeting together. In other words, don't give up attending church. Hebrews 10:25 says, we shouldn't give up as the manner of some is, but keep on meeting together. And all the more as we see the day approaching, that is the return of the Lord. So if we're really following through on what God has told us to do, then we want to be people who are successful in what he's given us to do. And true success is really determined by our ability to walk in this greater level of faith. So, true success is not saying, well, you know, I've got $1 million in the bank and I'm successful financially, or I own, you know, 24 homes or whatever. That's not success. Success is doing what God told you to do, being the person God wants you to be. True success is walking in this level of faith. I can remember one time in another church, not here, where I was pastoring, and I made a comment that we shouldn't give up, that we should just trust God, and that it's always too soon to stop, too soon to give up. And I made a comment, something to this effect, that you don't give up until you hear the fat lady sing. And there was a fat lady in the church, and she took offense. It was just one of those, it was a throwaway remark. There was no intent. It just, you know, I just said it. It wasn't with any intent. I hadn't even thought about her. But she was upset by what I said. But anyway, praise the Lord. So that's where it was. Let's go back to the word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So it's always too soon to give in and to give up. We need to be people who are prepared to press on. Estee Lauder, whom some of you may have heard of, and I know Elizabeth has, because every time I go to Mars, I have to find out about Estee Lauder, and it costs me money. Estee Lauder, the cosmetic lady, says, when I thought I couldn't go on, I forced myself to keep going. My success is based on persistence, not luck. It's always too soon to give up. You keep on keeping on. Napoleon Hill. Some of you may know who Napoleon Hill was. Yeah, he was an American author in the area of success, motivation, all of that area. And he was one of the early motivational type speakers and writers. And he made this comment: the majority of people meet with failure because of their lack of persistence in creating new plans to take place for the old ones which have failed. It doesn't work, so give it up. No, you got to keep on keeping on. Let me give you some more. Michael Jordan, basketball player, said this: obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work your way around it. Keep on keeping on. How many of you know who Betty Cuthbert is? Okay, Betty Cuthbert, good friend of ours, the Olympic runner. She came and visited with us a number of years ago, and she spoke in our church. And she lives in Perth, and she's been a born-again Christian for many, many years. But I can remember when she was with us at the church, there was someone who was trying to write some notes, and their Barrow pen wouldn't write, and they were about ready to throw it away. And she said, "Give it to me." And she took it and got a little bit of paper, and she worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. Looked like, forever, but only took a few minutes, and suddenly the pen started working. She said, "Don't give up. That's how I won gold medals. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on." See, too many people give up when they're probably just on the verge of a victory. When they're just about ready to be successful, they give up. And, sometimes it's the first sign of a pain or the first sign of a difficulty that we throw the towel in. You understand that phrase, throw the towel in, if you're interested in boxing? I'm a bit of a boxing fan, and when a boxer's getting beaten, his seconds or his supporters will throw the towel and say, "That's enough, don't hurt him anymore." They made that decision, he didn't. He was quite happy to take the beating, but anyway. People don't plan to fail, they just fail because they don't have a plan to be a success. See, we have to program ourselves for success. Now, when we were in our last session, which was last week, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8. And I want to go back there again today because we read a little bit about that and made some comments on it the last time. But in Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 43, it says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any." Now, that's a difficult position to be in. Not only was she ill, not only had she spent all of her money, but she wasn't getting any better. Verse 44, "She came behind in the press and touched the border of his garment," that's Jesus, "and immediately the flow of her blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' And when all denied it, Peter and those around him said, 'Master, the multitudes, they're thronging you, they're pressing, and you're saying, well, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me.' Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." Verse 48 says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Go in peace. Now, it's interesting. He said, go in peace. He didn't say, go in pieces. This woman had to break the law to get close to Jesus. You can read in the law in Leviticus, and we just don't have the time to go into all that tonight. But she was not supposed to be near anyone else. The condition was she had this blood flow. It was considered to be unclean as far as the law was concerned. She wasn't allowed to be within, I've forgotten the figure now, so many feet or so many would be meters today. She had to be away from people and not be close to people. If someone sat on a seat that she'd sat on, they would be considered unclean too. Very, very serious in those days. But she had to press through the crowd. All the people are thronging, are pushing and shoving. And it was nearly impossible for her to get to Jesus and touch him. But you know what? She used greater faith because she knew what she wanted. She wanted to be well. Sometimes when people get ill, and this is no reflection on anyone, they give up. They don't have that greater push, if you like, to get through. See, there's so many obstacles, so many disappointments, so many difficulties, so many disillusionments, All these things happen. All the worldly cares, the distractions, all these things happen. Trials, tribulations, you name it, it's all there. And it's all to try to cause you and I to lose heart and not press in. Not to press in faith and receive it all that God has for us. Now, let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because we are building something here for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, several verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. This is, well, let's read 7. The little subheading in my Bible says, cast down, but unconquered. Interesting the way that's phrased. Verse 7 says, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then Paul says, we're hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Verse 11 says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. And then it says, so death is working in us, but life is working in you. So Paul is telling us here, and you go right on down, you can read verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. Have you noticed that? But the outward man does perish, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is why it's so important to be strong on the inside. Because listen to me, it's the inward man that carries the outward man. So we need to be strong on the inside. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And then Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then he tells you how this works. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. So here we are, we're people of God, and we're being pressed, as Paul says, we're being crushed. All these things are happening. The Amplified Bible says, we're hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled, oppressed in every way. We're not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We're pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Now listen to the message. Some of these translations are really good. The message, same scripture, 2 Corinthians. He says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not what we want. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. Now that's a good line. We're not sure what to do, but we know God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. So the point I'm making here is this is a faith key. You have to press through. You have to keep doing and not give up. Don't give up no matter what the pressure is, no matter what the enemy is saying. Don't give up in all of these things. Number 6. Now, number 7. Next one. Be bold in the midst of unbelief and mockery. How many of you have heard of Edwin Lewis Cole? He's a Christian writer. And he made this statement. He said, prayer in private results in boldness in public. Mm-hmm. Prayer in private results in boldness in public. Now, there's a little chorus, and I think we've sung it here. I can't remember. Ulu and Naomi will remember. Be bold, be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong. I'm not afraid. I've forgotten the rest of the words. And it goes on about I'm walking in faith and victory. So I can't remember all the words, but you know the course. See, we need to be bold. God told in the Old Testament to our old friend Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse, he made this statement. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, that is when you do all, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now let me take you to another new. Some of these references are really, really good, and you need to, in the notes that I've given you, make little marks on them or something, and keep a record so you can check these yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get there. As I told you last time, this is a new Bible and the pages want to stick together. 2 Corinthians 6, and it says this in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst them. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing. I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So God, now, when people read that, many times they read that as a marriage thing. And it can apply to marriage, but that's not what it's talking about there. He's talking about our relationship with people who are not Christians. That's what he's really talking about. Now, how many of you know who Andy Stanley is? No, that's got you. Andy Stanley, he's the son of Dr. Charles Stanley. Andy Stanley is a Baptist pastor in America, and he's a very good speaker, and I've listened to him a number of times on the internet, and he says some very succinct things. But this is one of the things I heard him say. Past boldness is no assurance of future boldness. Boldness demands continual reliance on God's Spirit. Every day we have to be bold, but in the Lord. Now, when we read the previous key that we had there, which was number 6, we read about the lady, this lady who had the issue of blood and so forth. But in that whole story, if you remember, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus, who was a leader in the church, said, my little daughter, she's at home, she's at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Jesus said, okay, I'll come. So he's on the way. Suddenly this woman comes through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, causes him to stop. Now, if you read the story in Luke 8 sometime and look for the keys that God gives you, his compassion for this religious man, Jairus, caused Jesus to go. The need in the woman who's pressing through the crowd caused him to stop. Now think about all of these things. So here we are. He stopped. He's dealing with this woman with the issue of blood. In fact, let me take you back to Luke again and show you something. Go back to Luke chapter 8 again. I know, turn the pages because it's keep the air circulating. In Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 49. Luke 8:49. Here he is now. He's dealing with this woman who's just pressed in. She's touched the hem of his garment and he said, your faith has made you well or made you whole. Verse 49. While he's still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Here we are. Jesus is now challenged by the fact that Jairus is getting this message too late. Your daughter is now dead. It says, when Jesus heard it, he said to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. What's he saying? Get into a greater level of faith. See, you have to come to a place where your faith is greater in life than it is in death. Jesus said, don't be afraid, believe only, and she shall be well. When he came, verse 51, when he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and the father and the mother of the little girl. Now, verse 52, now all that wept and mourned her, and he said, don't cry, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was already dead. And he put them all outside. I like that. That verse really ministers to me. You got to get the unbelief out of here. If you want life, you got to get belief in death out. If you can believe in death more than you can believe in life, then get out. Because we need to be surrounded by people who believe that Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Yeah, see, here he is. He put them all out. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. He put them all out, said, took her by the hand, and he said, little girl, arise. Now, when you read the story, you get down to the next verse, it says, and her spirit returned. So that means she was already dead. Her spirit returned. She rose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. A live person needs food. Dead person doesn't need food. There's so much in this. See, we have to come to that place where we're not going to allow the mockers and the scorners and all these other ones to keep us away from what God has for us. Now, there's a number of references in the notes that I've given you there. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, Jesus put them all out because they mocked him. In Luke 8 and 54, I've said this, if you want to experience the victory, you can't associate with mockers. You can't associate with people who don't believe because they will pull you down to their level. You start accepting, well, maybe that's how it is. Maybe this is the way life is supposed to be. But if you want to experience victory, then you're going to have to keep your faith level up. And you do that by feeding the word in, filling up with the word. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll not go there, but Nehemiah is interesting. He was challenged by a man called Sanballat and another one called Tobiah. He was rebuilding the walls, and they were laughing at him and saying, well, it can't be done, it'll never be done, you can't, rah, 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 mock, 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 and all the rest of it. And he just ignored them and got on with the job. And they built the wall. It says they had the sword in one hand and the tools in the other hand. They just kept on doing it. So we have to not allow people to put us down. I have a reference there. I can't remember what it's for. Proverbs 22:10. Let me just check that one. Proverbs 22:10. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Oh, yes. Oh, this is a good one. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. The Amplified Bible says, drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out, and strife and abuse will cease. Good verse when people start mocking. Don't allow them to be in. I mean, there's been times when we've had to put people out of church to get others to believe God. We've had to, I can't remember if I've probably told you the story. We took a church on in Adelaide one time. We got invited to go and look after the church in Adelaide, and we got there, and the pastor was going away somewhere, and he said, would you come and look after things and take care of it? And I said, yeah, sure. When we got there, the elders and those who were in charge, and the elders, they said, oh, we don't want you to be the pastor. And we were there on a Sunday morning ready to preach. So I just got a chair out, put the chair there, put my foot up on it, got my handkerchief out, wiped my foot off, put the other foot up, wiped the other foot off, and we walked out, never to return. And within a matter of weeks, the church had all just collapsed because they wouldn't receive the word that God had sent to them. And so when people are mockers and scoffers, you can't spend time with them. They're going to go their own way. You got to go the way God's calling you. So that was number 7. My goodness, I better get on. Number 8. Faith key number 8. Faith in your heart and in your mouth. You have to confess and act upon the word of God. Mark 11. Wonderful scriptures that Brother Kenneth Hagin used for so many years. I remember we were listening to a Kenneth Hagin CD, I think, or a DVD. Was that last year? I just can't remember when it was. But he was telling a story. And in that story, he talked about a man who had diabetes, was it?
Yeah, diabetes.
And this man could only go for a very short time without having his medication. And Brother Hagin said to him, well, when you're with me, you'll never need your medication. I can keep you well. And the man traveled with him, never needed his medication. The moment he stopped traveling with him, went back to his home territory again, he had to go back on his medication. See, your faith can carry someone else. And Brother Hagin was able to carry other people. And he lived a good, long life. Interesting story when he passed away to be with the Lord. He just smiled and he was gone. Mark 11, we were at 23. Jesus speaking. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. In this little couple of verses here, I see at least briefly two what I consider major principles of faith. One is believing in the heart, and the other is saying with the mouth. You believe in your heart, and you say with your mouth. That ties up with Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, believe and confess. Believe and confess. It's important, I think, that we understand that we must have faith in our mouth. Faith has to be spoken. It's not something that you just, you know, think. You can think faith, but you have to speak it. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If you've got faith in your heart, which comes by meditating in the Word of God, then it's going to come out of your mouth, and that's going to produce what you need. But I found out that you can speak faith with your mouth, even if you've got doubts in your head sometimes. Sometimes your head's, you're doubting up there, but if you can believe down here. See, there's a heart-mouth connection, not a head-mouth connection. There's a heart and a mouth connection. You get your heart and your mouth working together. You know, sometimes when something that I need or something I want, what I do, I just go and find a scripture that covers whatever my need is. I was talking to someone today in the shopping center. This particular person had hurt her knee. I said, well, the Bible says in Job chapter 4 and verse 4 that God will strengthen the feeble knees. I said, get your Bible out, get on your knees and... and believe God. And the particular person doesn't go to church, but, it was a challenge to her because she has a background in church. But you see, we have to get the word for whatever the need is. Whatever your need might be, there is a scripture in here that will cover it. I mean, talk to Tina about it. She'll tell you. Talk to Elizabeth about it. I mean, if you've had God move in your life, see, sometimes our head will say, well, it doesn't seem to be working. But you see, it's not what's up here. It's what's down here. It's what's in your heart. What have you got in your heart? See, but the doubts, they're not yours. They're coming from the enemy. He's trying to keep you out of what God's trying to get you into. So we have to let our faith grow. Remember, there's this heart and mouth connections. What was the next reference we had there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 was, I think. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 13, isn't it? These are really great little scriptures if you can get them in your heart. Because once you get them in your heart, guess what? They'll start coming out of your mouth. And it's not being able to quote Bible verses. It's being able to speak the ones that you believe in your heart with faith. And that's what we're talking about, moving into a greater level of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same Spirit of faith, according to what is written. This is it. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. So we take God's word, we start speaking the word of God, and if we've got it in our heart and in our mouth. Remember, Proverbs 18:21 says, what does it say? There's death and where? In your tongue. It's what you say. In fact, probably this Sunday we'll talk a little bit about that. So death and life are in the power of your tongue. It's not in the power of my tongue for you. It's in your tongue. It's what you say, because what you say is what you believe. I had a man one time at another place at another time, and he tried to tell me that it didn't really matter what he said or did because God knew what was in his heart. Interesting sort of philosophy, I guess, because he based what he was saying on that scripture in Samuel 16:7, where it says, God looks in the heart, whereas man looks on the outside. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inside. And it's amazing how people will take the word of God and twist it around to suit their particular ideas and so forth. But see, when he said that, I also had a scripture that would work equally well, which was Romans chapter 1, verse 22, and it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. So people can speak the word and say, oh, I know the word of God. Yeah, it does. But, you know, you can profess to be wise. See, God doesn't judge you by how tall you are, how short you are, how thin you are, how fat you are, what color you are. God's not interested in all of that, but man is. God is interested in what's in your heart. God looks deeper than the surface. He looks right into your heart. God doesn't judge us by our outward appearance, you know, whether we're tall and good looking and have nice hair or whatever. Or having muscles, yeah. God doesn't look at that. He looks at what's in here. What do you really believe inside? I believed, and therefore I speak according to the word of God. Now, I can say this to you sincerely and with glory to the Lord. If I had not known what this book said and had children like Naomi and our son-in-law Ulu and our son Ian and his wife Kim, if we hadn't trained them in the word of God, when Elizabeth had a brain aneurysm and the doctor said she's not going to make it through the night, she wouldn't be here today. But because we knew what God said, we were able to stand on this book. We were able to say, God, your word declares you are not a man to tell a lie. Therefore, we accept your word over the word of the doctor. Thank you, doctor. You're going to do a good job. And you've heard me tell the story before. I took the doctor's hands in my hands and I said, thank you, Lord, for this good doctor. He's going to do a great job. He's going to do an operation. It's going to be wonderful. Everything will be fine. And when it's all over, no one will even know that Elizabeth ever had a brain aneurysm. Amen. And here she is today. 13 years later. 14, nearly 14 years later. Fine. But see, if we didn't know what this said, we would have accepted the difficulties, accepted the prognosis which said she's not going to make it to the morning. So we believed in our heart, and what we believed in our heart came out of our mouth. And here she is today, still with us. So we believe the word of God. We speak the word of God. And when you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, you've got a powerful combination. In Romans 10 and 14, it says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to be able to speak the word of God. Somebody's got to believe it enough to stand on it and say, this is the truth. This is not a lie. It is the truth. This is the word of God. It has to work. See, your words have got to have that positive ring in them. Otherwise, people won't believe them. You know, over the years, we've seen so many people heal from incurable conditions. Doctors say, no hope. Time's up. Time to check out. We just choose to believe God. If God wants us to go, that's fine. But he has promised us 70 years and 10 if we're just meager believers. But if we can really believe God and get into a greater level of faith, we can go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, I think it is, where it says we can have 120 years. Yeah. See, the 70 to 80 is for the children of Israel who were rebels at heart. They wouldn't believe God. They're out there in the desert doing all the things, you know, worshiping idols, doing all those things. And God said, because you can't believe, you're not going to have 120. I'm going to pull you back to 70. Well, maybe 80 if you're strong enough. But thank God. Don't have to stop at 80. We've had two of our dear friends been 80 in this last little while. Another one of their wives, she was 79 this past week, wasn't she? Yeah, 79. On Tuesday, I think she was 79. So we're encouraging people, keep going, don't give up. I mean, just keep on going on. Get going. Don't let the enemy steal. So get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth. And And it is simple if you will accept it simply. It's not difficult. You just do it. All right, that brings us to faith key number 9. Faith key number 9 is knowledge of the word brings faith. Makes us think, is it revelation knowledge or reasoned knowledge? See, knowledge that is received or transmitted through reason will put you under the curse. But knowledge that is received or transmitted by the Holy Spirit puts you under the blessing. God's plan was that man would live by revelation knowledge. God never planned that we should live by reason. It's not reasonable that we should live by reason. We are to live by revelation knowledge. God designed you and I to be a daily recipient of revelation knowledge. In the Garden of Eden, I mean, go back to Genesis sometime. Here's God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. How many of you have walked in the garden with God? See, we're supposed to be at that place. When you get into the book of Revelation, and we're not going there, but you get into Revelation chapter 3, and God says, I will come in and sup with you. When do you sup? In the cool of the evening. God walked with them in the cool of the evening. So we're trying to get back to that place where we're living by revelation knowledge. And they had this daily downloading, if you like, of knowledge directly from God. We need to be at that place. Let me take you some John chapter 5. Let's look at this quickly. John chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5. 19, I think it is. John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. Same chapter, verse 20. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works. We're talking about greater faith. He'll show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Go down to verse 30, same chapter. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So we have to live by revelation knowledge. We live by what we see the Father tell us to do. But Norman, I've never seen that yet. Here it is. It's all in the book. You just take God's word for these things. Just do what God tells you. Follow the word if you're not following it. But you know, the devil will come in and he tries to get you to come down from revelation knowledge to reasonable knowledge. Come down from revelation. Come down. You see, if you try to serve God from reason, you'll end up in problems. But if you serve God from revelation, you'll end up in the blessing, abundant, so much more than you can ever. Amen. You can't handle it. It's just the blessing gets bigger and bigger and better and better. Romans 10:17, faith what? Comes by what? Hearing the word of God. But listen, faith goes, or if you like, greater faith becomes lesser faith, weaker faith, less faith, by not hearing the word of God. The more of this word you can get in you, the greater your faith will be. So we come to that place where God's word is creating within us the greater level of faith. And as we have that greater level of faith, things begin to happen. How could you pray for healing if you don't know that God heals? How can you pray for finances and to be blessed financially if you don't know that God has made provision for that? And he puts it in his word. This is how it works. Listen, financially, God says, give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's simple. It's not difficult. But yet so many people struggle with it. We have to know the Word. We have to grow in the Word. We have to let that Word become strong in us. Do you remember, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 9, the story there about the father who came to the disciples and asked them about his son who was demon-possessed. And when you read the story, you find down about verse 23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Interesting. If you can believe, all things are... Now, if you haven't got that underlined in your Bible, you should. All things are possible to him who can believe. Now, when it says all things are possible, does that mean that there's nothing that's not possible? Everything is possible if you can believe the Word of God. So can you believe for healing? Can you believe for your finances? Can you believe for whatever it is? Faith cometh. And as we read these stories, we meditate on them, we hear these messages that we prepare and put out for you, as you hear those, your faith is growing and it's coming to that greater, 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 greater level of faith. And as you do that, guess what? You're pleasing God, because without faith you can't please Him. And when you please God, it's amazing what He'll do for you. He's already made provision for us, more than we can ever need. So we have to believe, we have to trust. And when the Lord was telling the Father that all things are possible to him that believes, basically what He's saying is that anything that the Word says, it's possible. Anything that the Word says, you can have it. Let's get on to the last one. Our time's going. Number 10, faith only works through love. See, the key to operating in a greater level of faith is to be rooted and grounded in a greater level of love. Now, I've said to you on previous occasions, sometimes some people are just hard to love. It is difficult sometimes, but nothing is impossible. We've had it over the years. Lots of people that we've had people come. We had a family came to us many years ago. None of you would know who they are. They came, and the father of the family was very indignant about certain things in the Word of God. He liked the messages we taught, but he was always questioning and saying, "Well, I can't understand. What about this and what about that and what about the other and so forth?" And I tried to minister to them, and he got off into different things. He started reading a lot of horoscopes and all these other kinds of things. And he'd look at religious icons, and he'd see there's an eagle and it was looking a certain way, and looking to the left or looking to the... All these kind of... He knew very little, but he was bombarding his mind with all of this stuff. And I can remember one time we went to the home because they were having problems, difficulties. And got him to the place where he got all of these books, because he tried five or six different cults, which I won't name, but he tried everything. And he had all of these books, and he was so confused. And I said, "I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to put them all into the incinerator." This is in the day when you could have one of those 44-gallon drum incinerators. So put them all in the incinerator in the backyard. Got a gallon of petrol. Poured it all over all of these books. Dropped a match in, the match went out. I eventually went on home, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was sitting in his kitchen looking out into the backyard and saying, "God, you know what? Speak to me." And suddenly, bang, the whole thing went up. God spoke to him in a very profound way. So he changed his mind about a few things, and it was difficult. From our point of view, I was young in the ministry in those days, and it is difficult to love people sometimes. When you feel like you're banging your head on the wall and you're not getting anywhere, and you think, "Why can't you see this? This is simple. It's not difficult." Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And in the evil day, having done all to stand, then he says, stand therefore, your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then verse 18, praying always. Listen to this. Listen to it now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Shakaboro Satalama Sabarundi Kamasatai, in the Spirit. And then he says, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. We have to come to that place, folks, where we put on this breastplate of faith and love, because the two go hand in hand. It's like hand and love, really, you know. And so we come to that place. Let me read just a couple more scriptures and then we're going to have to try and wind it up. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But it says, let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we walk in the Word, as we walk in the Spirit, then the love of God begins to flow out of us. We just begin to see people in a different light. Things begin to happen, you know. People that sort of got us going the wrong way, we suddenly find, well, they're not really so bad after all. Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, faith worketh by love. See, if you can't love, you're not going to have the faith that's going to operate and please God and do all of those things. And Paul says it's not a matter of living under the old covenant, you know, where circumcision is required, or even living under the new covenant where circumcision is not required. But he says the only thing that's important is faith that works by love. Your faith has got to work, and it works by love. Let me read to you. I'm going to read this. This is Ephesians 3, 16 through 20 in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 3, 16 through 20. Now, I know there's a lot of references in which we're doing, but it's a study. That's why we do it this way. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, reside, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, that is, without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being into all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of his divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself, remembering God is love. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly, far above all that we ask, we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. He said, put on the breastplate of faith and love. The two go together. So as we walk in the Spirit, love of Christ begins to flow out through us. That gives birth to love. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is love. So I just want to finish tonight. Our time is just about gone by sort of summarizing this for you. See, I believe God is calling each one of you who've been in these few weeks of this teaching. I believe God is calling you to a greater level of believing. Amen. For the days that lie ahead. I believe every one of us are going to have to go up a level in our believing. There's going to be times that are difficult ahead. There's going to be things that are happening in the world around. I mean, just even today, if you heard the news, there was 13 people shot dead in America in a base, a marine base, I think it was. These things are going to happen more and more often. But when you know God, when you know how to operate in faith, you know, you may have been at a level for a long time. You know, some people have been in church for years and they're still babies. They've never sort of grown. But I believe God may be speaking to you tonight. You're going to have to take a step of faith, step up. You get your experience based on the Word of God, not on the circumstances. Look for a freshness, a newness. Start to live by revelation. Start to live by what the Holy Spirit is saying. Submit to the authority of the Word of God. Begin to worship Him. Begin to adore Him. Be fully convinced of what God wants to do in your life. We need to be convinced. We need to come to that place that in spite of mockery, in spite of what your neighbors are saying or your family saying, you say, I believe God. I believe, and God is going to provide for you. I'm telling you that now. Some of you have been believing God for some things for a few seasons. You know, you've been saying, well, I'm believing God, I'm asking God for this, whatever it is. Time is here.
Thank you, Lord.
God's going to start doing some things, and you're going to be astounded, and the testimonies that will come in will amaze those who hear them. We heard a testimony last week about someone who got healed from cancer. Yes. Praise the Lord. So, you know, God is a healing God. God is a providing God. And He wants to use us, every one of us. Not just Elizabeth and me or anyone else who's involved here in any form of leadership, but He wants to use you.
Yes.
He wants you to minister to your neighbors and your families. But if it doesn't work for you, there's not much to show, is there? So it's got to work. Do you believe this works? Praise the Lord, so do I. Well, we appreciate you and we love you.